Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome, listener. I'm glad you're here. Take a seat next to the fire.
Welcome to Obscura, where we shine a light on the dark.
March 1st, 2021, Monique Sabara Linati made a post to her Facebook that read,
"Hey all my Junction and Palisade friends, please be on the lookout for this guy. He is like family to me and has been missing since Saturday evening. His name is Warren. They found his wallet by the Blue Moon Heron boat ramp, but I have no other details. Please, if anyone has seen him, please contact me. He will most likely be wearing a big grayish-green jacket and carries a gray backpack."
Submitted with the post is a picture of Warren Barnes, a bearded man wearing a ball cap and a blue flannel shirt. Barnes is known in town as the Reading Man. Monique Linati owns a bridal shop in Grand Junction, Colorado. Warren Barnes has become a staple of the area for Linati and many others in town. After news went around that Warren Barnes is missing, Linati seemed to take exception with Barnes being simply described as a homeless man. She made a follow-up post describing what Warren means to her and the community.
"Let me tell you about Warren Barnes. Let me tell you about the Warren Barnes that I know and love. Warren is just a guy on Main Street I see reading his book and feeding birds. I didn't think much of it. He became friends with Tierra Renee Moore, and she quickly showed me how sweet and intelligent Warren is. Soon after, Main Street started cracking down on the homeless population and removed benches and seating for those loitering. Warren is the exception. He works a job, has a room he rents, and doesn't use any type of drugs. I decided that it wasn't right for Warren to be excluded from enjoying his days of reading in the sun. So I got him his own chair that he can keep on the property I rent. He sat in that chair every single day he wasn't working, reading, and feeding birds. We became family instantly. The stories he told, the things he taught me, and the laughs we have over the silliest things will stay in my heart forever. Warren has never complained about anything and has always been there to help. He eats Subway every damn day and feeds half his bread to the birds. Half of what he has, which isn't much to begin with. And he gives it away. Why? Because that's just how Warren is."
Listener, despite the usual prejudice held against the homeless, Warren Barnes carved out a niche in the community. He became a fixture of downtown, a centerpiece that touched the lives of many, from adults to children, and even birds. No one would ever see Warren Barnes alive again. The following is audio from an interview conducted by police. Both Monique Linati and her friend can be heard during this body cam audio.
"Normal places where he should be.
How do you know Warren?
I own Monique's Bridal downtown, and I give him a chair to sit and read his books.
Is and a homeless gentleman?
He's not homeless. He stays in a place. He pays for a room. I thought it was the Melrose, but I've been all day kind of just trying to find him. And she doesn't rent rooms to anyone, so... We're trying to find out where there's like little apartments that would be super cheap because he works for a company that does just like temp agency, and they were the ones that actually contacted me because he's never missed work and they know that he sits behind my shop. So I..."
"When was the last time you saw him?"
"Saturday, 5 o'clock. I said, 'I'll see you tomorrow, Warren,' and he was like, 'Okay,' meaning he planned on coming down on Sunday, and then he did not show up. to come sit in his chair.
Do you mind if I'm sure you gave it to whoever you made the report
sure.
with, but what is your name?
Monique, M-O-N-I-Q-U-E.
M-O-N-I-Q-U-E.
Mm-hmm.
Last name, Monique?
L-A-N-O-T-T-I. So we're just trying to come down so I can see, like, if I could find his backpack, since his wallet was so close, but it's odd because he goes to, which is where I'm heading next, he goes to Charlie Dwellington's every day at 4:30 when they open. Every day. It's just he leaves my shop and he goes down there. So I'm thinking if they saw him Saturday, maybe it happened more up there because it's weird. He would never come down here. He would never come all the way down here.
He doesn't have a camp down here or anything?
No. Nope. He doesn't live in like that.
Do you know for sure he has a room at the Melrose?
No. It's not at the Melrose because I called and she said she doesn't rent rooms or anything like that. So it's somewhere downtown. It's just I don't know where. And I've tried to contact everyone that might know and no one seems to know.
Does he... sometimes sleep out on the streets?
I don't believe so, no. Because if he did, I'm the type of person I would get him a room or something if he was didn't have that continuous work. But he's been working. He unloads, like, boxes for the sheriff department and different kind of odd jobs around town.
Okay.
Do you know his last name?
I took a picture of everything that I've been writing down because I was at work. His last name is Barnes and his birthday... That's his birthday.
And
but this is where they told me at the temp agency that was the address that he gave to them. But that's not even a legitimate address. The Melrose is actually 337.
Warren Barnes, 519 of 51.
Mm-hmm. He worked for People Ready. And someone found the wallet and called People Ready this morning. So, and they said that everything looked like it was in there because he doesn't have much. And I just gave him $20 for beer. So I know that he had maybe a couple bucks.
So they found his wallet just down here at the boat
yep,
ramp.
Is that the case number from the missing
yep,
person?
Yep. Is it not the whole thing? There we go. Yep. That's the from today that Claire gave me. And I just thought before it got dark, I would come down and just see if I could find his jacket or his him, hopefully.
What's like your birthday, Monique?
Asking people if possibly they have found, have seen him. He's probably about 20 pounds thinner because he was pretty thin.
Can you forward that picture to me?
Yes. And he wears, the last time I saw him, he had on a greenish-gray jacket. He has work boots. They're steel toes. And he has silver, it's like an acrylic paint that we accidentally spilled on his shoes a couple weeks ago. So if they do find him, they'll know that that's him because he's got...
What color
know?
Boots? Sorry.
They're going to be a darker kind of... They started out one color, but they're like a darker brown.
Do you know if he has family in town?
He has no one. We're the only people that he has.
Okay. What's your address, Monique?
Home or the shop?
Both. So why did you... What raised concern with you today to report him missing?
Because the place People Ready called to see if I had seen him because he didn't show up for work and he's never once not shown up for work in the 4 years he's been working for them. So I said no and that I hadn't seen him since Saturday.
Slow down a little bit.
Sure.
People Ready called because he never misses work.
Yep.
He was camping down here.
No.
No, she's never seen or heard of him being down here.
Never
That's why I'm freaked out because there's no way he walked all the way down here and his wallet just
so, in how many years? In 4 years?
Yeah, that's as long as I've known him.
And how long, so he's been coming to your shop reading for about 4 years?
Since the city took the stuff down to start the ordinance down there to keep the homeless population off the benches and they moved all the benches. That's when he started sitting on the property. Because I was like, you can sit in the sun, I'll get you a chair. So I bought him a chair and we just had him sit out there. But he sat out.
Do you know
well,
who
at
you spoke
three.
To from People Ready?
I think I'm talking to that
Mary Lou.
Right now.
And then
the
you called the phone 3 times?
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
Yes. Sorry. And then I texted him as well. The third time is when it just went right to voicemail. Because they called me at about 10:30. And then
how many texts did you send him?
Just one. Because I said, is everything okay? The People Ready place called. They're concerned as I am. Can you please call me? And he doesn't do drugs. He smokes cigarettes.
The first two phone calls, did it just ring and ring? Or
it rang and rang, and then I got voicemail, and I left him a message. And I said, hey, can you please call me? We're concerned, the second one.
And the third call, somebody shut it off.
It was completely went right to voicemail. And also when my stepdaughter tried to call him, she said, she had texted me and said it went straight to voicemail, so that's when I was like, that's weird. And that's the weird thing, is I said, I'll see you tomorrow. He said, I'll be here, I'll see you tomorrow. And then I didn't even think about it when he wasn't there, really.
Does he ever have anybody sit and read with him or
no.
next to him?
Mm-mm.
Has he mentioned talking to anybody?
No, he doesn't associate with a lot of the, like, transients because he's not like them. He's very intelligent. Like, I don't know why he's homeless. I never really got into, like, why he chose, you know.
So you think he has a camp, but...
No,
I
don't.
He has an apartment.
I think I'm almost, I would say, 90% positive, because that's what he's always told me. And if he ever was living like that, I would have helped him. He knows I would have helped him.
Is that maybe why he didn't tell you, you think?
No. No. I don't think so. I mean, even if he didn't tell me, he never looked like he slept outside.
I've been clean clothes.
Yeah, well, as clean as you can get for someone like Warren. But, I mean, I think he only owns one pair of clothes.
Now we return back to the person who I didn't name in part one. And his name is Brian Coheed Jr. I purposely omitted his name because it's one that made the headlines. News articles which paint him as, either intentionally or unintentionally, a sort of dark, murderous anti-hero who was cursed and cursed again. Instead, I chose to focus on information rarely discussed surrounding the case, and drive home the fact that Brian Coheed Jr. is no anti-hero, nor is his background misunderstood. He's a hypocrite that spends his days worrying about his own feelings, yet lives his life abrasively, lashing out at those around him, driving his friends and lover into intentional anxiety, one to the point of panic attack, just to see them squirm, physically attacking them, laughing at the bleeding result. Brian was like a rash that wouldn't go away. What makes all this worse is that he was given every opportunity for rehabilitation, to seek help, but according to his own internet history, he rejected treatment. He rejected every helping hand with a sense of superiority over those around him. In his mind, he was the great Brian Coheed Jr. He couldn't show weakness to the peons, his parents, or even understanding of his beliefs, willing to work with him and seek LGBTQ-friendly therapists. Brian Coheed Jr. didn't want to get better. He wanted to get worse. He reveled in the minor infamy granted him amongst his friends group and preferred negative reinforcement to the positive his friends and family had on offer. This is all to say that it's not worth feeling bad for Brian whatever picture he tries to paint of himself. Even if he was haunted by the deadlights and the late hours just before rest. In 2019, Brian Coheed Jr. tells his family doctor that he's experiencing headaches. He doesn't tell the doctor about the lights that dance around his bedroom, just from the corner of his eyes, or that sometimes, when his back is turned, the bright light shines through his bedroom window. Impossible when he turns around because there is no car. There is no man with a shining flashlight. Then the lights are gone. Brian's doctor is worried about the frequency and strength of his headaches. The doctor orders some CT scans. The results come back clean. No tumors. No clots. The doctor asks if Brian is still seeing his counselor, B. Phillips. He is. The doctor asks if Brian is experiencing suicidal ideation. Brian hates his counselor. He visits B. Phillips 24 times. Part of the reason is because Brian Coheed has a trans girlfriend, and B. specializes in working with the LGBTQ community. Despite having a trans girlfriend, his counselor is taken aback by Brian referring to his girlfriend and other trans people as it. To Brian Coheed Jr., trans people are weak, and weak people deserve death. He tells his counselor that he subscribes to Darwinism as a core philosophy. He sees nothing wrong with hurting people or lying. He considers this a natural process of nature, rooting out the weak. Brian was brought to B. Phillips by his mother. She felt he needed to work out his emotions regarding the death of his uncle. It's on his counselor's couch that he admits for the first time that he didn't feel a damn thing about his uncle dying. Brian only pretended to care, because that's what people expected of him. In truth, Brian Cohee Jr. had a darkness burning in him, one that couldn't be extinguished by therapy. Brian Cohee Jr. had no interest in putting that darkness out. That night, he studied destructive figures in history. In his time past, they became his idols. They included, but weren't limited to, Joseph Stalin, Adolf Hitler, Ted Bundy, Eric Harris, and Dylan Klebold. Despite his grandiose ideals, Brian Cohee Jr. became a grocery store clerk after graduating. That isn't to insult retail workers. It's just that Brian spent his middle and high school years looking down at everyone around him. At work, Brian kept himself insulated, rarely talked to anyone around him. Some of his coworkers were kind to him, but it was from a place of pity. In February 2021, Brian scheduled a visit to his primary care doctor. It was over a large, painful lump underneath his arm. The doctor took one glance at the angry boil and told Brian it was badly infected. He asked his patient how long it had been there. Brian said he couldn't quite remember, but it had at least been months, and he couldn't take the pain any longer. The boil was bright red with dark yellow and purple spots. His doctor prescribed Brian some antibiotics and told him he needed to visit a dermatologist. February 27th, 2021. It's Cohee family movie night. Brian gets to choose the movie. He picks 1984. His father would later describe it as a strange choice, noted at the time that his son seemed distracted, even a little paranoid. During the movie, Brian continually looked around the room, as if he expected something to leap from the shadows. After movie time is over, Brian hugs his parents and says his goodbyes. He is still distracted as he climbs behind the wheel of his car. Brian can see the lights from the edge of his peripheral vision. He can see them as he backs out of the driveway. The light tremors, glowing behind trees and darkened houses, but it shimmers and dances away if Brian tries to stare at the light directly. The car continues to back out of the driveway and into the road. Brian is hypnotized by the lights. He doesn't seem to notice when he's exited the driveway, the road, and then backs the car directly into the lake. His parents were watching on in horrified confusion. It's a strange irony for Brian Cohee Sr. to see his son's vehicle plummet into the water, directly past a life jacket stand he helped place. Brian Sr. founded the local Save a Life Jacket program in 1994. The police arrive with intentions to help retrieve the vehicle from the water. The following is from body cam footage recorded at the scene. Brian's mother, father, and Brian himself are all in the footage.
How do we call a tow for that?
I don't know, because he'd have to get in the friggin' water.
Yeah.
I caught Lax towing. They want me to text them a photo of the car because they think they might be able to pull it out.
Okay. So you're already in contact with them?
Yeah, but I only have like 10% battery left on my phone, and now he wants me to text him a photo of the car, and I'm okay. Like, oh, good Lord.
I can take one and text it to him for you if you'd like.
Oh, that would be fantastic. Thank you.
Yeah, is an inexperienced driver.
Okay.
Put his car here on the angle, and he got out and like just looked down at the green light for a moment, and when he went to get back in, he wasn't able because of the angle to pull it out. I don't know. He's right there.
Okay, we'll talk to him real quick.
Bye.
Sounds good. Is your son right here?
Yep.
Hey, pardon, you want to come out and talk to me real quick?
Sure. I mean, I'm really cold. Is it okay if it's in here?
Because that's fine. Pants because he is.
Okay. That's fine. I did not know that. No. That's, please stay in the car. Yeah. All right. Nobody else in the car?
Nope.
No. Okay. No, just us. I'm the father. That's the mother. And this is our son. He
sounds
good. 20 minutes ago and said, "Dad, I parked at the boat ramp and I messed up. I tried to get out of the car and slid down."
Well, you're not hurt, right? You're okay?
No, just a little cold is all.
Beside your pride a little bit.
And probably $7,000.
Okay. All right, man. Do you have your ID with you, driver's license, by any chance?
Thankfully.
What were you doing down here, bud?
Well, I felt like I needed to get out, and I figured, why not park here and
just relax a little bit?
Relax and think.
Okay.
And I parked on the boat ramp, and I thought it would be easy to get out.
Uh-huh.
But when I tried to...
Where did you park exactly? Were you down the hill a little bit?
Yeah, just a little bit.
Okay.
And then when you got
back in... Go ahead.
When I got back in... I tried to put it in drive, and it didn't go up. So then I tried putting it in low gear, shimmying it a bit. That didn't work.
Were you facing down?
No, I was facing. I was facing up.
You back down?
Yeah.
That's a really good idea.
If starting the year with a fast feels a little daunting, you're not alone. There's an entire community of individuals wanting to make a meaningful difference in their health, just like you. This is what makes group fasting so powerful, and why I'm joining in on ProLon's January Fasting Challenge, a coach-led program to set you up for fasting success. ProLon's Fasting Mimicking Diet is a revolutionary plant-based nutrition program that nourishes the body while making cells believe they're fasting. Researched and developed for decades at USC's Longevity Institute and backed by leading U.S. medical centers, ProLon helps promote healthy blood sugar, enhanced skin, fat loss, and improved energy and focus. It all starts with their 5-day program, snacks, soups, and beverages designed to keep your body in a fasting state. No guesswork or planning required, which is a relief after a busy holiday. Stay motivated during the challenge with guidance from top longevity and nutrition coaches, providing the tools you need to successfully complete your fast. Listener, with the new year here, like many, I'm ready for a hard reset after the holiday indulgences. So I'm going to start strong with the ProLon 5-day program. It's fasting, but with food, so I can nourish my body while experiencing benefits like fat loss, enhanced skin appearance, and improved energy. And with the January Fasting Challenge, I have expert support, guidance, and a community to keep me on track. Ready to make 2025 your healthiest year yet? Order your ProLon 5-day kit at prolonlife.com/obscura and join in on their fasting challenge today. New groups start every Sunday in January. Plus, ProLon is offering Obscura True Crime Podcast listeners 15% off their 5-day nutrition program for your post-holiday glow-up when you go to prolonlife.com/obscura. prolonlife.com/obscura. Listener, when we're trying to make progress, life's curveballs often feel like taking one step forward and two steps back. A Chime checking account makes financial progress easier with features like no maintenance fees, fee-free overdraft up to $200, or getting paid up to 2 days early with direct deposit. You know, listener, we've all been through hard times. I know I have. In fact, there was a time in my life where my account was sitting at zero, and I was waiting on my next paycheck. Next thing you know, a charge went through, landing me absurd overdraft fees and digging my hole even deeper. Chime helps make progress with fee-free overdraft up to $200. Your next deposit is applied to your balance. Get spotted on debit card purchases and cash withdrawals. No monthly fees or maintenance fees, and over 50,000 fee-free ATMs. Make progress towards a better financial future with Chime. Open up your account in 2 minutes at chime.com/obscura. That's chime.com/obscura. Chime feels like progress. Banking services and debit card provided by the Bancorp Bank, N.A. or Stride Bank, N.A. Members FDIC, spot me eligibility requirements and overdraft limits apply. Boosts are available to eligible Chime members enrolled in SpotMe and are subject to monthly limits. Timing depends on submission of payment file. Fees apply at out-of-network ATMs.
I'm going to handle this, man.
Do
I get a tow going for a car in the river and see if anybody will take this?
I'm going to work on that.
I don't know, man. So I'm kind of glad you were coming down here, because I was like, it's not a crash. He just
parked it out in the water.
He parked it and basically couldn't get it up. It just lost traction, looks like, and then he actually went in it.
I just,
in the water. He's not hurt at all, so I'm like, how are you going to get this car out if possible?
I don't know.
We're going to get some options for you here, man. I'm not sure exactly if we're going to see if we can go through the list if anybody's got some ideas on getting this car out of here or not. I don't know.
She's talking
seen a whole
now.
Lot of cars that have put themselves in that situation, so we're going to see what we can do.
I'm actually the owner of the life jacket program on the boat ramp here.
Mm-hmm.
I do all the life jackets.
All right.
In Grand Junction, Colorado. So it's cool. Like, oh my God, I'm... this is not...
It happens.
Think, yeah.
It happens.
Yeah, we made him wait till he was almost 18 before he got his driver's license because we didn't want him having any accidents like they do when they're 16 and 17. And
gotcha.
Stupid things. But stupid is he doesn't have any issue with it, I guess.
Yeah. Not going to lie, this is my first time too.
Really?
It's a new one for me.
What's that?
So I've never seen one of these either, so it's a new one for me.
On my website, backing up, when people back up their boats, I see accidents when the truck goes accidentally in the water.
Mm-hmm.
Next thing you know, the boat and the truck's in the water.
I lost him.
Just let me know if he does. That way, if not, we can try and get hold of a tow truck and okay. Go from there.
No, it's at an angle. It's heading upriver. It's facing upriver.
Yeah.
Yes, the front of it is facing upriver. Oh, damn it. I'm sorry. It keeps losing the call. Ah! And he's like, I don't want to get wet. I don't have the proper clothing to go gotcha. Into the water and get wet.
Yeah.
Hey, Robert. Well, you know, I was just talking to the patrolman, and they're suggesting that we just adjust this in daylight hours. That's why they make the big bucks. They're smart. Okay. Nobody wants to get in the water. Thoughts. I hear you.
If you guys want to stay warm, you're more than welcome to jump in that car and see where it's warm.
Does he need to stay here?
Or I'm sorry?
Is he free to go? I'm sure he'd like to go home and get warm.
I'm sure he'd like to get some pants on.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, it's not a crash. It's
okay. It's just a stupid ass. Nope.
So.
All right, I'm going to take him home then, and then we'll come back here and figure out what's what with the
truck. Hey, quick question for you.
Sure.
So the back bumper, I don't know, you can probably see it from here. It's a lot of red on the back of that, dripping down it all a little bit. That underneath the license plate, a little area right there. Okay.
Okay.
A lot of red, which means it looks like blood.
Blood?
Yeah. I don't know if your son hurt himself on his way out
know.
At all.
He might have, he just didn't know it. I don't know.
That's why I'm asking. It's a good question. He's at home. Does he make sure he's not got a cut or...
He just said he's going to bed.
Something out on him somewhere that he's not aware of, maybe because his adrenaline was a little high. Maybe just have him do like a self-check, make sure he's okay.
Hello?
Brian, are you okay? They see blood on the back bumper of the vehicle.
Really?
Yeah, did you get hurt?
No.
Are you sure you don't have any injuries?
No, I'm fine. There's blood on it?
What? We're not sure.
It's a red, something red underneath the license plate.
Similar blood stain.
Oh, no.
All right, but you're not injured. You don't have any cuts?
No, I don't know what would cause blood or whatever it is on the bumper.
But you're not injured?
No, I'm not injured.
The blood on the vehicle stuck with Brian Sr., a suspicion on his mind that he couldn't relay to the police at the time. After the car was recovered from the water, Brian Sr. asked his son why the trunk of the car was leaking blood into the water. Brian Jr. showed his father a cut on his finger. This didn't sit right with his father. It was too much blood. Brian Jr. came back to his parents' house that night. As he slept, his father went out to check the car. He wanted to get to the bottom of this. He opened the trunk. There was blood everywhere. That was the first thing he noticed. It stained the material inside the car dark red. The next thing Brian Sr. noticed was a large knife. He checked the knife and found that it was clean. Next was a box of latex gloves. White latex spilled from the perforated hole in the packaging. Then there was something in the back of the trunk. Brian Sr. reached into the back and grabbed the waterlogged wallet. He opened the wallet. And behind a cheap plastic screen was an ID. That ID read, Warren Barnes. Quietly, Brian Cohey Jr.'s mother, Terry, goes through her son's possessions. It's here that she finds a trash bag. Opening the bag, her worst fears come true. Every terrifying thing she feared for her son crystallizes in that single moment. Inside the bag is a rotting thing, a maggot-crawling thing, covered with flesh and blood. Yet somehow, still very human. The room fills with the smell of rot. Terry places the bag in the kitchen sink and calls the police in terror.
911, this is John. What's the address emergency?
Hi, there is an emergency. I found something in my son's closet wrapped in a plastic bag.
Okay, what was it?
I think it's a human head.
It's a what?
I think it's a human head.
Why do you think it's that?
Because it looks like it has a ear.
Is it bloody or is it like anything like that?
Just for you to come. Do I have to take a picture and send it to you?
What's the address? Is your son there now?
He just pulled up. We wanted to make sure he was here before we called.
How old is he?
19. He's had a little bit of a fascination with the morbid, but he was channeling it, I thought, into becoming a crime scene investigator, but not so much.
Do you think he's going to be cooperative with us?
I don't know. I don't think he'll be violent. Okay. Just came back from his friend's house.
Does he have any weapons in his room, or do you guys have any in the house?
I don't know. I think that he has a shotgun, but we can certainly remove it immediately before he gets in his room. He's out by the car now, so.
Is the bag still in the closet?
No, it's in my kitchen sink. And there's a secondary bag that I have not opened. It's currently covered with a towel.
And there's a second bag?
Yeah, there's a second bag that I don't know what's in it. I didn't open it.
I'm sorry. Did he take the second bag out of the closet?
I took the second bag out of the closet and put it in the sink.
Where's Brian now?
I think he's still out front.
And you're in the backyard now?
I am, yes, because I don't want him to hear me.
Police arrive at the scene. They approach and find Brian Cohey Jr. waiting outside. What he tells the officer will shock you.
What's going on, man?
Cooperate.
I am going to cooperate.
Okay, so parents have some concerns of some stuff they may have found in your room?
Yeah, I believe so.
And what would it be?
A human head and hands.
The police enter the Cohey residence and find the trash bag in the sink. They confirm the bag contains a human head and hands.
Do you have anything on you? He's going to cut, poke, hurt, stick me anything without reaching for nothing? Don't reach for nothing.
My phone and my wallet. That's
okay.
It.
Well, I'm going to have you face that way. Put your hands on top of your head for me real quick. I just want to make sure you interlace your fingers for me real quick, all right? I'm going to have you walk over here. You're going to sit in the back of my partner's patrol car for a minute, okay?
Not yet.
Okay. Just sit back there and hang out for me, okay? Can you walk me inside, please?
Just walk you off through this. What happened to
Okay.
Let me do it. You go inside.
Let's stay out here with me for a minute.
Sit down. Come on, sit down, baby.
Can I go in there and verify here first?
Oh, yeah, please.
Yeah,
we haven't seen it. Yeah, we haven't looked at it.
It's under the towel in the sink.
Okay.
Annie, stay with your mother. Give her a...
Just make sure that guy goes in the car first.
I can take it. You can go in the sink, right?
Okay.
Right there. No, you can have anything. House is empty.
Okay.
Had a bad feeling about what happened this weekend.
Okay.
She said there's a bag in the closet, and she opened it up, and she called me and said, get over here right now. I covered it with the towel.
Okay.
But I didn't want him to see it because we didn't want him to run. I don't want to look at it.
Yep.
After being loaded into the police vehicle, an officer begins to drive to the station.
Just sit back there and hang out for me, okay?
How are you?
I'm good, sir. How are you? You said your name's Brian?
Yeah. I'm not feeling too well.
You're not feeling too well? All right.
No, these past days I've been very, very anxious.
That's understandable. So what we're going to have you do here is I'm just going to have you sit in the back here, okay?
Uh-huh.
I'm going to turn on the air for you in a second. That way you're not too hot. Are you a hot-blooded or cold-blooded kind of guy?
I am very cold-blooded. I prefer cold. Well, no, actually, sorry. Hot-blooded.
Hot-blooded. So you prefer the cold. Okay, fantastic.
Thank you.
All right. So hop in here. I know you're tall, so it's a little bit of a tight squeeze, but like I said, I'll get that air on for you.
Sorry about that.
All right.
Your induction's been quite violent lately.
How you holding up, Brian? Okay. A bit thirsty? You guys have any water in your home? I can't make any guarantees we're going to be able to go in and get some, but I will get some water to you as soon as I can, okay? All right, Brian. We're headed to the sheriff's office, and your family's going to go with us, okay?
On the ride over, Brian Cohey Jr. blurts out, he's under this bridge, as they pass over the bridge in question.
He's under this bridge.
The following is audio from police following up on Brian's claim. The officers showed up to the bridge with their body cams recording anything that they found under the bridge.
Nope, it's right here.
Oh, you see it?
Yeah. Because there's an arm.
Oh, shit!
Hey. There's an arm, there's another arm.
Okay, hold on. Just do some pictures. Start right now.
There's another one.
I don't have a clue. Okay.
This is like something out of TV.
Yeah.
discussion with the deputy chief about how people, how these kids don't have any, right, here's a leg. Well, it could be the upper arm or a leg.
Well, there's three. There, there, and there.
This is down there. I mean,
a patrol guide to yellow tape it and then hold it, because the potential is that there's a secondary by the boat launch.
Yeah, I would think so.
Well, we can run out there and look at that, and then if you guys, we can just ask for a...
I'm switching to primary. Hold on.
But if we can get the lab out here, that would be the best thing.
Yeah, get forensics out here.
Brian arrives at the police station.
Okay, Brian.
Thank you.
No problem, sir. Just walk with me. We're going to walk right this way, okay?
You're fine with me not being in cuffs.
I'm fine with you not being in cuffs.
Okay, thank you.
All right, Brian, open this door for me, please. Just walk forward for me, Brian.
Oh, I should have a mask.
You're okay. Don't worry about it, okay? Keep on walking. Keep going. Take another left. Hard left. Right here. Right here. Alright. So have a seat, and we'll be with you in a moment, okay? Thanks, Brian.
Brian now sits in an interrogation room. At this moment, he is the only one fully aware of the monstrous acts he's committed. In the next episode, we'll learn everything, down to the grimmest details.
Do they sell empty paint buckets?
Mm-hmm.
I was planning to buy an empty paint bucket, put the head in it, seal it, and then I was going to throw it off in some ditch.
Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.